sometimes after recording these homilies, I listen to see if it worked. And usually before I hear my own voice, I hear the chirping of the birds. I never notice it during the Mass, but I notice it on the recordings. And that chirping is what we used to call twittering. Twitter and tweeting and chirping. But now the word Twitter has taken on a whole new meaning. I suppose when they established that social media app, they meant it to be just whatever frivolous Twitter you want to, any little noise you want to make can be broadcast, like giggling or chirping. And even the word tweet, which is what one message is called a tweet, that word, by its very definition, is insignificant. It's just a little light sound. Maybe nice, but not real much meaning. But that has changed over the years, as you know. And so now people use Twitter to make pronouncements, public policy and major statements and news, breaking news and all sorts of things. You probably know this better than I do. Twitter, the Twitter world. Anyway, why am I talking about Twitter on Corpus Christi? A couple of months ago, a famous atheist, Richard Dawkins, made a tweet about the Eucharist. You know Richard Dawkins? He's one of the, what they call the new atheists, one of the most famous atheists in the world right now. I thought he was dead, in fact. He's still alive. Huh? Yeah, he's still alive, an old man. And he's a controversial figure and a thinker, British scientist. Anyway, Richard Dawkins in April puts out this tweet, which is not about an insignificant thing. I'll read to you exactly what the tweet says. I wrote it down here. Roman Catholics are required to believe that communion wine actually is literally the blood of Christ, and the wafer literally is his body. Not symbolically, but literally. Not a metaphor, but literally. That way madness lies. At very least, it's a pernicious abuse of language. That way madness lies. That's a famous line from Shakespeare, King Lear. Meaning, if you keep thinking like that, you're going to go crazy. If you keep going down that path, you're going to lose your mind. At very least, it's a pernicious abuse of language. So, Dr. Dawkins, reflecting on the Catholic dogma of the Eucharist, says it's either madness or abuse of language. It's either crazy or it's a lie. He doesn't entertain a third possibility, that it might really be true. But he doesn't believe. He's an atheist. Then he added a second tweet. I didn't know about this one, because the controversy was all about the first one. When he did this, there was some reaction, of course. Most of the reaction was, yeah, what a crazy way of thinking, yeah. Or some Catholics said, no, that's not right. That's not what we believe. A few Catholics, faithful Catholics, said, yes, we really believe it's the body and blood of Christ. Anyway, he put out a second tweet, I think almost at the same time, and this is what it says. Most Catholics don't believe the official dogma. And then quoting from some Catholic source, he says, the entire substance of the bread and the entire substance of the wine are converted respectively into the body and blood of Christ in such a way that only the appearances of bread and wine remain. It's quite remarkable that this atheist is making a presentation of the Catholic teaching on the Eucharist much better than perhaps most priests will make on this feast day of Corpus Christi. It's quite striking. We have to be grateful that Richard Dawkins, in his attempt to discredit this, has actually announced it. And it's perfect for today's feast. Today is the day to celebrate, to renew our faith in, to announce, to proclaim that the Eucharist really is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, looking at his tweet, he says it's either madness or it's a pernicious abuse of language. Actually, it's more than what he says. He says, I don't know what he means by literally, but he probably thinks if Jesus lived at all, I don't know what he believes about Jesus as a historical figure. Most of the atheists will grant that Jesus really did, was a real person, he really lived. Some will deny even that, but I don't know in the case of Richard Dawkins. But if he accepts that Jesus is a historical figure, he would say, well, then he died a long time ago, and whatever might be left of his body, if any of it was eaten, it would all be eaten up by now, and there's none left. So it's crazy to think that anybody can eat his body and drink his blood. In fact, we're not just talking, when we talk about the Eucharist, eating the Eucharist, we're not talking about eating the body that Richard Dawkins has in mind, the body that died and was buried. That would be crazy. That if Jesus were dead and his body were lying in the tomb, it would be madness to eat him. It would be cannibalism. That would be cannibalism, eating the flesh of a human being. What we believe is that Jesus rose from the dead in a glorified body and ascended to the Father. And he makes available to us in the sacrament of the Eucharist, not just his humanity, but also his divinity. His glorified body and blood. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. So it's not that we believe this only what Richard Dawkins gives here. We believe more. Not only are we eating the body and blood of Christ, we are receiving God himself in the Eucharist. That this gift of Jesus in the sacrament is the gift of his whole self. Not a piece of his body, but his whole being and all he has accomplished. The whole work of our redemption is included in the Eucharist. In fact, even this quote in his second tweet, he quotes from a Catholic source where it says the entire substance of the bread is converted into the body and the entire substance of the wine is converted into his blood. Yes, but actually, every single host contains all the body and blood. It's not that there's only a body in the host and blood in what was wine, in the appearance of wine. No, every drop of the precious blood, what we call the precious blood, is actually his body too. That's what we believe. No division. And if you break a host, both of the pieces are whole. The whole Christ and everything he has won for us, available to us. So it's much more extraordinary than even what he's trying to refute here. And much more extraordinary than most of us Catholics think. It's beyond language to describe this gift. That's why in the sequence is an attempt to celebrate this. Lauda Sion, laud O Zion, your salvation. Laud O Zion, your salvation. Laud with hymns of exaltation, Christ your King and Shepherd true. Bring him all the praise you know. In other words, praise him as much as you possibly can. Bring him all the praise you know. He is more than you bestow. Never can you reach his due. In other words, we can't exhaust the mystery of the Eucharist in whatever we might say about it. Richard Dawkins says it's a pernicious abuse of language. Actually, it exposes the limitation of language. We can't say enough about the Eucharist that would really capture the gift. We simply have to accept it, receive it. That's what this feast day is all about, celebrating this mystery. It's not surprising that an atheist would try to or would attack this central belief of our Catholic faith. It's the easiest target. Well, the Trinity is a pretty easy target too. We celebrated the Holy Trinity last Sunday, and atheists and materialists, well, actually, even some believers of other religions will attack our faith in the Trinity because they say it doesn't make any sense. It's madness. It goes against reason. In fact, as we celebrated last week, it goes beyond reason. It transcends reason. The reality of God, who is three in one, a community of love, so united as to be perfectly one. But that lofty mystery, so far beyond us, is brought down to earth in the Eucharist, so that we can't say it's so far beyond us we won't even think about it. No, it's placed right on the altar. It's placed right on our tongue. We can't say that God is so far away and so hard to understand. Yes, he's far away and hard to understand, but he's also so close and so intimate that we take him into our own body. He gives us his life, and we live when we receive him, when we eat his flesh and drink his blood. We live forever. Actually, it's an easy target for those who don't believe. I've often been surprised that our born-again brothers and sisters seem to prefer attacking our use of images and our veneration of the Blessed Mother. That's what they tend to criticize us for. They say, oh, you worship Mary. Oh, you're setting up statues as idols. And of course, that's not true. We don't worship Mary and we don't have any idols. But we do worship the Eucharist. So I don't know why they don't attack us for that, because we set up what looks to them like a mere piece of bread and we bow down and worship it. Yes, we do. Because that's what we believe. Why do we believe it? Because Jesus said, "This is my body. This is my blood." Now, because we believe it is his body and blood, soul and divinity, we bow down and worship. We recognize we are unworthy for him to come under our roof. We who are sinners would not dare to accept the fullness of God into our fallen nature, except that he says, eat this. You know, practice in regard to the Eucharist goes from one extreme to another. Now the extreme is everybody, even people not even baptized, and people don't have any faith at all, everyone comes to receive Holy Communion. That's because they don't really believe, for the most part, they don't really believe it's his body and blood. The other extreme, which is from some years past, was that nobody would receive communion. Almost nobody. A church full of people, there might be a handful who would come to receive, because no one is worthy. It was St. Pius X who really worked to try to overcome that sense of unworthiness, he would say, yes, you're unworthy, but when you make a good confession and you're free from mortal sin, you should come to receive Holy Communion often. So we have these two extremes. For one thing, it's such an extraordinary gift, we wouldn't even dare be in the same room without being on our knees. On the other hand, we're supposed to eat this gift. Eat it like food, any food, and it becomes part of us, or we become part of Him, united with Him completely. Eucharist. Today's the day to not only renew our faith, but also to make public proclamation of our faith. That's why today's the day for public processions. We're not ashamed of our faith in the Eucharist. We're not ashamed. Now, we're in the middle of a pandemic and we can't have a procession. So we can't, in fact, many people still can't even go to Mass yet. So this is a contradiction to the feast. We who can go to Mass and who can make public proclamation, we will adore the Lord today in our holy hour as a way of proclaiming, at least spiritually, proclaiming, this is the greatest gift ever given, the greatest gift we have ever received, the source and the summit of our whole faith. According to the sequence, the angel's food is given to the pilgrim who has striven. The angel's food is given, bread from heaven, bread of angels, bread of saints. This is the gift that we welcome today, we celebrate today, we worship today. And we proclaim to the world, yes, yes, Dr. Dawkins, we do believe. We do believe. It's not symbolic. It's not a metaphor. It's the real presence of Jesus Christ.